I am pleased this morning to introduce to you Mike Johnson, who is a member of the local Gideon camp. He's the vice president, in fact. Mike is a bioengineer at Seven Rivers Hospital. He's a layman, just like you. He comes because he is committed to the Word of God and wants to share that word with the world. And so I present Mike and invite him to come and share his word today.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning. How are y'all? I'm from the South. Picture of the man that you see here. His name is George Bunkalipi. He's from Angola. At the age of 9, and I realize it's not a good picture. There's not very many good pictures of this man that exist. At the age of 9, he was drafted, recruited, whatever term you want to use, made to go into the army in Angola. And that should not be really surprising to you. A lot of third world nations, especially in Africa, use boys as soldiers. They train them with guns and they train them to kill people. A lot of those countries are constantly under the threat of a revolutionary coup that's drumming up, someone trying to take control of the government so that they can have control of the natural resources so that they can have the money, is what it gets down to. So the government has to protect themselves. Young boys are easier to replace, they're easier to feed, and they're easier to train. So it's not unusual for them to use young boys as soldiers. Well, George here was such a good soldier that he became very proficient at killing people. And so by the time he was 15 years old, they changed him from being a soldier and just made him a hired assassin for the nation of Angola. He continued to do that job for a number of years. At one point in his life when he was an adult, there was a Christian preacher in Angola. Now, Christianity in Africa is a little bit different than it is here. Most of the countries in Africa are, their official religion would probably be considered Islam. And as long as you don't make a lot of noise, you can pretty much practice whatever religion that you want to. As long as you don't interfere with the government, they really don't care. Well, this one particular preacher, he was making a lot of noise. And he was an evangelical preacher. So he was leading a lot of people to Christ. And it started bothering the government. So the government told him, you need to quit preaching about Jesus Christ. Well, being a good evangelical preacher, he didn't listen to them. And he continued to preach. And so they sent George to his house. And on the morning that George was going to fulfill his mission, he gathered his belongings as he normally did. He put on his jacket. He put his pistol inside his jacket. He got in his car and he drove to the preacher's house. He got out of his car and walked up to the door. He knocked on the door. Well, the preacher knew when the preacher answered the door, and he knew who he was, and he knew what he was there to do. But he didn't run. He simply said, yes, good morning, may I help you? And George pulled out his pistol and he put it to the preacher's head. And he said, will you quit preaching about Jesus Christ? And the preacher looked at him and he just kindly said, no, I cannot quit preaching about Jesus Christ. He said, but before you kill me, there's something I want to tell you. And there's something that I want to give you. He said, first of all, let me just tell you that I forgive you for what you're about to do. And secondly, I want to give you something. And he reached down and he picked up something on the table that was on the next to the door. And he handed it to George. And George took it and he stuck it in his pocket, in his jacket. He put the gun to the man's head, pulled the trigger and killed him. Got back in his car and started his drive home. And on his drive home, he thought, how unusual, how strange. I've been through this many, many times and I've never had anybody tell me that they forgive me. That's never happened before. Usually people are groveling and begging for their life. That's what he was used to seeing, but not this guy. This guy said, I forgive you. He said, maybe what he gave me shed some insight on why he behaved that way. Well, he got home and he pulled it out, and it was one of these. It was a Gideon New Testament. Of course, it wasn't in this language. This was in English. But it was a Gideon New Testament. And he began to read in the Gospels. And so he started reading about Jesus. And he read how Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of sin. And he realized that he was a sinner. And he realized that God's forgiveness was there for the asking through Jesus. And he gave his heart to Jesus Christ that day. He found a church locally that reluctantly accepted him. And he began to worship. He got out of the assassination business and went back into the army. And he became a general. And after becoming a general, he became a Gideon. And the army put him in charge of all the new recruits that were coming into the Angolan army. And as a Gideon, today, guess what the new soldier recruits receive before they receive a rifle? They receive a copy of God's Word. The Gideon's International is an organization of Christian businessmen and professional men, and our objective is very simple. It's to win men and women, boys and girls, to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the primary way that we do this as an organization is through distribution of the Bible, because we know that when a person has the ability to read God's Word in their own native language, that the Holy Spirit can speak to that person and they can be saved. We have over 289,000 Gideon and Auxiliary members that are spread out over 194 countries. Now, in each one of these countries, it's one way that the Gideons is a little bit different of a ministry than maybe some of the other mission ministries that you're familiar with. Each of these countries, the people that are Gideons are locals. They live there. Their children go to school there. They work there. They speak the language, and they distribute the Bibles and Testaments to the people that are in their area. We have Bibles and Testaments printed in 93 different languages. Now, recently, I had the opportunity to give two Korean exchange students, high school boys, New Testaments. And I could tell from their reaction that these boys, they were used to receiving the English literature from the English-speaking guy, and they had to struggle to translate it. And they opened it up, and I had a Korean friend write, God loves you and so do I, in Korean on the inside of it. And they saw that, and their eyes kind of lit up. And then they continued to read, and they realized that this testament was in their language. And they continued to read that. They were very excited about that. God has given us a very unique ability to reach many people in a variety of different places in the world. Hospitals, jails, universities, military personnel, public schools. We distribute Bibles locally at some of the universities. When we go to in November of each year, we go to the University of Florida, not just here in Citrus County, but Gideons from all around that area go to the University of Florida. And we'll hand out several thousand testaments in a matter of 4 hours, spread out all over the campus. We have a jail program here in Citrus County. We have jail programs all over the world, and we distribute testaments to prisoners. Public schools. A lot of people in the United States are very confused about how public schools work and what the rules are overseas. Because you see, if I go down to Homosassa Elementary School, and I say, I would like to distribute these New Testaments to your students, they're either going to laugh at me or they're going to put me in handcuffs. I go, one way or the other, I'm not going to be doing that here. But if I were to send those testaments to another country, it is very likely in that country they will let us go into the public schools. Not only will they let us go into the public schools, they encourage us to go into the public schools because it gives the children some reading literature. And a lot of these schools, the only reading literature that they'll have is sometimes outside, and it's just a chalkboard. And so if we're going to distribute Bibles or Testaments to these kids, they will be lined up to get it, to have someone give them something that they can actually read that it belongs to them, and they're going to take home, and it's probably going to be the only printed literature in their entire home, and often it's the only printed literature in their entire village. We have seen that happen many times before. So don't get confused about the way things work in the United States, the way things work overseas. It's not always the same. We place Bibles in hotel rooms in most of the hotels in Citrus County. We assist Gideon's in other counties that do the same thing. We do not place Bibles. Some people have told me, well, you missed such and such hotel in Orlando. We, of course, have to get permission from the management in order to do that. Today in the United States, a lot of the hotels are being bought up by foreign owners. And sometimes these owners are not sympathetic to traditional Christian values. And so they will not allow us to go into the hotels. Sometimes they will, sometimes they won't. If you don't see a Bible in your hotel, what you should do is complain to the manager. And so I'm used to having a Bible in my hotel room, and I would like to see that. And if you ever get the opportunity again, then you need to let those Gideons come in here and place the Bibles in your hotel rooms. But you may not realize it, but about 30% of all suicides that occur in the United States and overseas occur in hotel rooms. You don't hear about that very often because it's not good for business, but it's very often the case that someone will check into a hotel room with a gun with intentions of ending their own life, and they'll see that Bible, and they'll start reading that Bible, and God will enter their heart, and they will change their mind, and instead of ending their own life, they find new life through Jesus Christ and through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Your financial support is what enables us to continue this ministry. This morning, I'd like to ask three things of this church. Okay, first thing is to pray. Is to pray for missions and pray for the Gideons. When you pray for missions, remember the Gideons International. And the second thing is to help us financially. The Gideons International uses the money that is given to them by the church to purchase Bibles and New Testaments. Okay? Only to purchase Bibles and New Testaments. It is not used to pay anybody's salary or to pay anybody's travel expenses or buy anybody a dinner or any of those things. We do all that ourselves. We only ask the churches to help us purchase Bibles. This morning, as you are leaving, you will have an opportunity to purchase Bibles. There will be men in the back with offering plates. Every penny that you give will be going to purchase Bibles through the Gideons International, okay? Your financial support is what enables that. In the back of every New Testament is those the words that are printed there is my decision to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Everyone that receives the New Testament from the Gideons has the opportunity to read about Jesus and make a decision there on the spot to accept Jesus Christ and to become their Savior. And then they can sign their name and they can print the date so that they can always remember that decision that they made on that particular day. Another way that you can assist us in purchasing Bibles is through use of the Gideon Card Program. We have a Gideon card rack that is located in the narthex. You see it every time you exit the building. You can have Bibles placed in different areas in memory of a deceased loved one. You can simply pick up a card in the rack and you can fill it out and mail that to a family member of the deceased loved one saying that, you know, I've purchased this many Bibles and they've been placed in memory of John, who died at such time, and we really miss him. And that is a very good way to both serve God and place in Bibles and to remember a person that has deceased. People always enjoy getting in memory cards. Another cards that are in there are the thinking of you cards that can be used in a variety of different situations. If you're just thinking of somebody, and you can have a Bible placed in while they're doing that, and you can send them a card and let them know that I purchased these Bibles just to let you know that I was thinking of you because you're going through this particular hard time or whatever. Or in recognition cards, can be used for a variety of different situations at all. I don't know that it would be really good for like a high school graduation that's coming up, because most of those kids don't necessarily want Bibles placed, but I've got one. That's why I mentioned that. But is in recognition cards can be used in a variety of different situations, and you can recognize someone's accomplishment and have Bibles placed in recognition of that particular thing. And finally, this morning, if you are a Christian businessman or a Christian professional man, I would like to ask you that you consider joining the Gideons. We are always looking for new people. We need men that are willing to give up their time and give up their whatever resources that they have and move that towards God. And we're a very organized organization. We have a camp right here in Citrus County. You have a representative in your church, is Richard Delaney. You can talk to him about that anytime. You can talk to me at any time this morning, or you can talk to your pastor at any time that you like as well. Thank you for your attention.